That's nothing. Let me just tell you, there are a few certainties in this life. One of them is this. To answer your question about what I was just thinking. At no point in my life, when you look at me, am I ever in my head mentally putting together outfits.
I know you were, though. We were talking about those earlier. Well, I know that you do sometimes.
I just don't... We were talking about the listener party, which is coming up, and I just...
And last time we made an appearance, we were at Lycus, and we wore those huge AM 970 shirts, and...
Well, not huge, well...
It was big on me.
The only thing about this is I'm not going to be big on me now. I just, the only thing big on me is me. The only thing big on me is this stomach. I got out of the last like five events we've done, I've just been jeans and t-shirt guys. I got to figure out something else to wear for. This is probably an uninteresting conversation.
Yeah.
Sarah and I discussing our wardrobe choices.
What color socks do you think you'll wear?
503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A 30-year-old woman posed as a boy and assaulted a 14-year-old girl in Everett. Apparently, Lorelei Josephine Kulpus presented herself as a 17-year-old boy named Mark. Police told the Everett Herald newspaper she befriended the teenage girl at a shopping mall, and the family allowed Mark to live with the family as the young girl's boyfriend. The true story comes to light after Mark was pulled over for a traffic stop with a girl in the car. Officers are told that the woman allegedly had beaten and assaulted the girl. The family was surprised to learn that Mark was a 30-year-old woman. He's now in jail in Everett.
I would really like to see a picture of this man slash woman. I would like to know what kind of 30-year-old woman can pass herself off as a 14-year-old boy. And I would also like to know, although I think we all know the answer to this, what kind of family meets said girl slash boy at a shopping mall and decides it's a good idea to have them come home and live with them. How old is the daughter? 13?
15.
That's
14.
Imagine if you were 14 and you just met some dude at a shopping mall and your parents decided to have him come and live with you as your boyfriend. So I think I see a whole lot of corrugated aluminum ceilings in that house. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a woman drowned in a swimming class in the city pool in Tacoma. A 26-year-old Candace Green died of a lack of oxygen.
I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing?
Because doesn't that seem a little... Doesn't that seem sort of implicit when he says that she drowned? What else would she have died of? Being attacked by an orca whale? Really? I mean, she attacked by a threshing machine?
I don't know. But she died of a lack of oxygen.
A swimmer noticed that she was just floating lifelessly in the water. She was pulled out, and someone performed CPR, but it was a little bit too late.
Where was this?
This happened in Tacoma.
But what was the opening? What's the opening line of the story?
A woman drowned in a swimming class in the city pool in Tacoma.
At a swimming class, presumably a class filled with people who can swim, and an instructor of some kind who can presumably also, even if you can't swim, how difficult is it to notice somebody drowning when they're in the same swimming pool as you? Life is cheap in Tacoma. That's your proof right there.
So back to this girl who masqueraded as the boy named Mark.
Jesus.
Mark told the little girl and her parents that his mother died of cancer and his father killed himself. So they let him move in.
Because that's exactly the kind of 14-year-old you want moving in. All right.
Apparently, the state's computer base lists Mark as her alias in a theft case. And let's see. Everett and Marysville police recognized this woman as a woman. But she was able to pass herself off as a man for some time. I still can't find any pictures, but I'm looking.
All right. It seems like this, as the Drew Curtis people would say, this story really is useless without pictures. Okay. Not that it would help anybody who's listening to it right now, but I just want to see a photo.
The girl and her family need to be reassured that this is a highly unusual case and they shouldn't feel bad.
No, of course not. Don't feel that you're a stupid, trashy family in any way who's easily fooled by a ruse that I would think would be uncovered by almost anybody with an IQ of room temperature. So in no way should you blame yourself.
Meanwhile, a bill aimed at reducing the amount of junk food sold in Oregon public schools has been approved by the House after backers called it a necessary step to combat childhood obesity and diabetes.
Schools would have to sell foods and beverages containing less sugar and fewer calories. Nothing that's very much fun. There are some people against this, though. Representative Kim Thatcher, who's a Republican from Kaiser, said she fears this bill will create a black market in the schoolyard for Twinkies and M&Ms.
And do we have a soundbite from her?
No, we don't.
Oh, all right, okay. Well, whatever.
I'm leaving this open for your comment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, whatever. This is where? In Kaiser? Where is Kaiser?
Well, this is everywhere. This is a statewide thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kaiser?
I barely knew her.
Okay. Of course, it was slow on the draw with that today. Well, it had nothing to do with the schools selling bad food. Kids will find bad food if they want it. When you're a teenager... Oh, never mind. I don't even care. I don't have kids. Here's the thing. I was going to launch into a whole thing. I don't have kids. I'm not going to have kids. I am no longer a kid. Be fat, die young. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. In no way do I care about it. It doesn't affect me at all. You're all younger than I am, so I'm not going to end up paying for your fat ass anyway. In fact, it's going to be quite the opposite. So go shove a whole case full of Snickers bars into your mouth and let that heart explode. I don't care.
So you know, if you have a kid who goes around doing the graffiti thing, and you're the parent, you too can be arrested.
I thought that was, well, I knew you could be fined.
This woman is cited after her daughter was arrested for tagging a wood-burned building. Police found graffiti on the Withers Lumber Building on Young Street. A short time later, officers spotted two teenage girls with spray paint in the night. They were 15 and 16. Angelica Biro Martinez, the mother of one teen suspect, has been cited for failure to supervise a minor committing a graffiti violation.
You know, and back on the bad food and school thing, you know, there's some myth, some illusion that school food was ever really good for you, which it certainly was. I mean, I don't know what they serve kids now, like, and I understand that they're talking about junk food like in machines and so forth. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they serve kids now in the lunchroom, but man, it was just nothing but fried crap when I was going to high school. I mean, it wasn't like that long ago. It wasn't in the 60s or something. I mean, I went to high school, whatever, 15 years ago, something like that. And, man, it was just nothing but, like, deep-fried burritos and, like, big, greasy things of French fries. And that's all it was. And then, of course, if you had 75 cents, you could just go load up on, like, sugar at the commissary or whatever the hell it was. So, and yet somehow I managed to not be a colossal fat ass. I had to wait until I was 34 to do that. But it seems like teenagers have a hard time. I was going to say they have a hard time gaining weight because they have a speedy metabolism and so forth. But I guess that's not really true either. I guess one look around the Lloyd Center Mall will tell you that teenagers can be fat just like anybody else, but it doesn't really seem like it's a school. Look,
they can all get jobs conducting polls to irritate shoppers.
When you're a teenager, peer pressure is never more intense than when you're a teenager. There is no peer pressure when you are 25 or 30 or 40 that is as intense as the peer pressure on you when you're 15, and the pressure to conform and to be attractive and to be whatever. And really, if that's not going to keep your ass thin, nothing will. I mean, if just the white-hot supernova concentrate of high school peer pressure is not enough to induce you to lay off the snack wells, then really nothing is going to have any effect. So if desperately trying to get laid by some hot girl in your geometry class when you're 16 isn't enough to get you to put down the Sprite, then having your parents lecture you about it certainly isn't going to be any help. So if you can't stay thin when you're a teenager, you're probably not going to stay thin ever. So there you go. So there's your little pick-me-up for the day. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, 15 British naval personnel captured by Iranian forces have been pardoned and will be freed as a gift to Britain. Speaking at a press conference in which he was also awarded medals to the Navy commanders who seized the sailors and Marines, the Iranian president said the detainees would be released today. Former British ambassador Sir Richard Dalton says Iran had no choice but to release the sailors.
They've obviously come to the conclusion, which some of us have been forecasting for a few days, that the matter was moving in the right direction and that it was not going to be of much value to Iran to hang on to these people. They would gain more by letting them go.
Meanwhile, after the Iranian president's news conference, one of the Brits spoke briefly with the president with the aid of a translator.
We're very grateful for your forgiveness. I'd like to thank yourself and the Iranian people.
Well,
have a good luck, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Have a good luck.
So there's... I'll be sure to do that. So was there any acknowledgement by either the Iranians or the... Because I'm still...
It'll take 20 years before we find out just how many weapons were traded for these people.
I mean, at that and whether or not the British guys were actually inside, Iranian waters when this happened anyway. So you think that Google Earth would be able to tip us off to that right now. But so, all right. No, you're right. This will all go in the file next to the JFK papers and the instructions for the battery that never stops working. And they'll stick it in that big Raiders of the Lost Ark room. All right.
A friend of one of the sailors coming home is thrilled to hear the news.
To be honest, we was all getting angrier now. We thought we've wasted another 2 or 3 hours listening to him going on about what's what. And then when it actually got translated properly, we just couldn't believe it. It literally took between 5 and 10 minutes to sink in.
The parents of one of the sailors has a bottle of bubbly to open upon his return.
Oh, Nathan, what can I say more than we just want you home and we'll celebrate and what can I say?
And the other sailors as well, one more along, this is it, we've got 15 of them.
I swear to God, sometimes...
You didn't understand a word of these, did you?
No, really.
Going, sooner or later we'll hit on one.
And sometimes these sound bites are just like one big Guy Ritchie film. I just have no idea what's going on anywhere. All right.
Another mother says she's filling her house with flowers.
Now my house looks like a florist. I've had cards from everybody and text messages.
She wants cards from everybody.
On the internet, it's just been unbelievable. I can't believe it.
All right, Scotty is noting that he's going to prepare himself for the listener party, too. He's going to go shopping and buy himself some brand new swanky duds. Fantastic, Scotty. We can't wait. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
All righty. Well, a White House spokesman says Karl Rove was never in any danger last night during a lively protest at American University. A massive group of protesters rushed the White House aide's car as he was leaving a speaking engagement after meeting with a group of college Republicans. More than a dozen of the demonstrators lay down in front of the motorcade and blocked its path. Several officials pulled away and, they let Karl Rove's car loose. And nobody was arrested, apparently.
I don't understand why Karl Rove was suddenly so visible. For the longest time, you never saw that guy.
No. He went through tunnels between buildings.
Exactly. He floated above Earth like that Haddon guy in Contact, just in geosynchronous orbit, beaming his thoughts directly into George W. Bush's brain. And now you see him everywhere. So he's either supremely confident that things are going well for the Bush administration, or he just realizes the game is so far gone he no longer cares. He just suddenly decided to go mental on everybody because he's suddenly out and about everywhere. So, all right.
President Bush is criticizing lawmakers for traveling to Syria to meet with Syrian President Assad. Nancy Pelosi is leading the delegation this week. Republican lawmakers have also scheduled meetings with Assad. The president says such meetings send mixed signals to Syria, but Pelosi says the trip is a great opportunity.
We think it's a good idea to establish the facts, to hopefully build some confidence between us. We have no illusions, but we have great hope.
Nancy Pelosi also has high praise for the terrorist state, Syria.
We were welcomed by the people of Syria yesterday in a very friendly way. We came in friendship. We came with hope. We came determined that the road to Damascus would be a path to peace.
The road to Damascus. Every
Is that
time,
a Bob Hope movie?
It's every time we have some soundbite from her, she's terrible at this. She can't resist bad puns and terrible, kitschy phrases like that. Somebody's got to get her a different speech writer. She's awful.
Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani continues to defend his wife and her possible involvement in the Giuliani presidency. Last night on Hannity and Combs, the former New York City mayor said his wife's involvement would be more informal than formal.
I didn't suggest that she's going to be a member of the cabinet. She doesn't want to be. I didn't suggest that she's going to sit on most meetings. She's not going to sit in on most meetings, if any. And I was really thinking more of policy meetings, not these, like, official cabinet meetings.
Yeah, he's got to do something about that excess saliva when he talks. That's no good. Imagine having to sit through a whole State of the Union of that.
Rudy says that while he disagrees with Hillary on many issues, he does respect her.
I disagree with her now, particularly on the way to deal with the war on terror and the war in Iraq. I disagree with her on a whole bunch of other issues, probably on health care and the economy and taxes. But I respect her. I respect her for running. I think she's running for the right motives.
Sure. I'm sure he's filled with nothing but love for her. I'm sure he's filled with nothing but hearts and daisies and petals of the softest roses for Hillary Clinton. And he would I'm surprised, actually. You would think that a guy whose prostate nearly fell out from cancer would agree with her at least slightly on the idea of health care reform in this country, since that's the whole reason he had to drop. That's the whole reason that she's the senator of New York, is that he, his prostate just exploded one day and he had to drop out of the race to get it taken care of. So, I don't know, there seems to be a lot, there seems to be sort of a momentum to the idea that Rudy Giuliani is going to end up being the GOP candidate, not because he's any good or can win, because I don't think, he may or may not be good, but I don't think he can win, but just because there's just not going to be anybody else. There's going to be no one else. There's Fred Thompson, who all the evangelicals are already mobilizing against. There's Jeb Bush, who can never win anything because of his last name. And there's John McCain. John McCain seems like some sort of a children's toy for whom the batteries have almost run out. He's like some little drummer boy that is slowly winding down at the end of a 96-hour marathon. So, I mean, it may just end up being Julie. How great would that be if it was just Giuliani versus Hillary Clinton? Oh, that'd just be fantastic. That would be, I mean, and it's already so chaotic now, and what is it? It's March of 2007. We're already like a year and a half out, and it's already a madness. I can't even just imagine how intense that would be. It'd be fantastic.
Meanwhile, former Vice President Al Gore isn't even in the running yet, but he's doing well in the latest field poll of the party's likely voters in next year's California primary. Senator Hillary Clinton topped the survey, but Al Gore is running a close second. Assistant Professor Corey Cook of the University of San Francisco said it's clear that Democrats aren't sold yet on the Clinton presidency, and the field appears to be wide open.
Not yet convinced about Barack Obama. They're not sold on John Edwards.
All right. And this is who?
Some guy. Excellent.
Well, I mean, Al Gore has got, I mean, it's not like I'm some dementia or something, but Al Gore's got to know that the only reason he's polling so high is because he's not actually running. I mean, everybody thinks that you're a dream candidate until you decide to actually run, and then, man, they just come in and they just pick you apart like you were made out of bacon. So it's, Al Gore should just sit at home and just continue to be, and I'm somebody, the Abraham-looking Lincoln bastard, and just, do whatever it is he does with global warming, because as soon as he runs again, man, they're just going to beat him senseless. He's just going to end up going down in a massive spongy defeat if he decides to run again.
Mitt Romney is confident his values, on top of being the top Republican financial donation receiver, will be the key to his securing of the 2008 Republican nomination.
And I've demonstrated through a lifetime in the private sector that I can change businesses, I can change the Olympics, I can help change the state of Massachusetts and get the job done. And I think that's the reason people have come to my campaign, raised money for me from all over the country.
You know, the thing that nobody ever mentions is that idiot health care plan that they've got. I don't know if it's actually taken effect. I should ask Lisa about this. I don't know if it's actually taken effect or not in Massachusetts. This moronic health care reform they've got there, which is where they just require you by law to buy your own health care or you're a criminal. That's it. Pass the law. You must buy health care or you are a criminal. And which they've said, well, he somehow managed to foist off on the people of that state is some really great, wonderful humanitarian reform. He's not ever going to be president, but we are missing out because there'll be endless polygamy jokes if he were ever elected to the highest office in the land. Not going to happen, so we'll be denied those.
Well, he says people are looking at values, not faces.
Uh-huh.
I really think the American people, however, are not looking just for a personality. They're looking for somebody who can bring real change to Washington.
Yeah, all right.
Well, Barack Obama raked in $25 billion for his presidential bid for the first 3 months of 2007, placing him on par with Hillary Clinton and dashing her image as the party's inevitable nominee. The donations came from an eye-popping 100,000 donors. The figures are the latest evidence that Obama, a political newcomer, has emerged as the most powerful new force in presidential politics this year. The campaign reported that the figure included at least $23.5 billion that he can spend on a highly competitive primary race. Meanwhile, it's down to the Elite Eight on the season's America's Next Top Model. In the last episode, 21-year-old student Diana was eliminated because the judges felt she lacked passion. Passion is what people are looking for. The New Jersey native, plus-size model, says she had a feeling she would have to be gone pretty soon.
I felt it. Like, as soon as we went home after the photo shoot, I was like, oh, no.
I'm hungry.
You know, this is going to be my time. I just had that gut feeling. And
there was time
after
to
our
eat.
Critiques, you know, I kind of had a feeling that me and Whitney were going to be in the bottom two.
Okay. I've never even seen her. But as soon as you say plus size model, it's like a radio rule. It's like some sort of union regulation that I have to make food jokes. I've never even seen her. Is she hot? Who is? What's her name?
Her name is Diana.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is time for the obligatory, Sarah she's comment not, about how she's exactly my type.
No, she's not, like, overweight. She's just bigger.
She's overweight in the world of models.
She's overweight in the way that,
she's not a broom handle.
That Rick likes.
What does that mean?
She's curvy.
Okay. She's overweight in the way that Rick likes. As though it's, as though I've got a fetish. Like I'm all about the Gilbert Grape Mom. All right. I want you to just sit on this bed and eat a lot of grain. No. All right. So whatever. She's kicked off.
She says being eliminated from the show is just as dramatic as it looks.
Prior to me being on the show, I'd always watch it, and I'd be like, oh, please, it's not that serious. But when you're there, that is your life. That is it. Like, you forget everything that you were doing prior to going on to the show.
No, you know, and the thing is, even without knowing what she looks like, you can totally tell that she's kind of a bigger girl.
How can you tell she's a bigger girl?
She's a husky voice.
No, because she just sounds like she's about ready to smack you. She sounds like she's got the... Because, you know, look, I mean, I hate that this is a stereotype here, but you know that, like, I mean, well, this is sort of a variation of what Tom says. You know, Tom always says that really, really, really thin... girls that are really thin and really, really beautiful in the traditional sense of the modeling industry are really insecure. But the thing is, it goes the other way too. That it's like really traditional. Like the more women weigh, the more that they're convinced that they're all that. And that really goes for even morbidly obese women. You've all met a woman like that. We all know girls who are just really like flat out fat, and they all think that they're sexy. Like the fatter a woman is, the more she is convinced that she is a gold plated sex machine. It's true. And so you can totally hear the aggressive fat girl sass in her voice.
A gold-plated sex machine.
No, fat girls always think that they're hot. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, I'm really not trying to be a crude pig of a man about it. Because I'm, you know, there's certain broad stereotypes you can make about all kinds of men, and they're probably male body types as well. I just don't know what they are, because I'm a guy. I don't know. But I'm saying, in my experience, and I would be willing to bet in the experience of most men, you meet a woman who's fat, she is convinced that she is hot. It's just the way that, I don't know what it is, it's the way that nature distributes favors. With fat, it's sort of like fat has some weird enzyme in it that gives you self-confidence. I don't really know what that's all about. Anyway, so you can totally hear that in her voice. She sounds cute, though.
Well, even though she's been eliminated from the show... Diana still got the chance to meet rapper 50 Cent.
He was cool. He was just really, like, chill, like, laid back, very, you know, he doesn't seem like this, like, you know, gangster. I've been shot so many times, you know. He was just really, like, cool and really laid back when I was talking to him.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do one more and then we'll take a break here.
All right. Well, guitar hero... Harmonix. Why, that sounds like a laxative.
I don't know. Try Harmonix if you have occasional rashes or itchiness.
Harmonix has gone solo and teamed up with EA and MTV to develop a brand new music game dump rock band, taking the core premise of Guitar Hero and extending it tenfold.
Oh, and okay, now hold on. This is, we should almost talk about this after the break, but is this from the same company? Does it say, is this the same company that makes Guitar Hero? Or is it just some sort of, is it like a spin-off, or is it sort of in the vein of? Does it say if it's the same company?
Same company of what?
Never mind. We'll talk about it after the break. If somebody knows about this guitar, what is it called? What's the name of the band, the name of the game?
Guitar Hero, and it's called Rock Band, and Guitar Hero 2, apparently. That doesn't answer the question, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
I have no idea what I'm reading. There are four paragraphs here with words that are unidentifiable.
If somebody knows about this upcoming Rock Band game, call. We won't be able to get you till after the break, but call now. 503-733-2970. I have questions about that. Then we'll get Brian. And then we've got a photo of the girl who passed herself off as a boy. So that's all coming up. It's a Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Hi, hello. It's the Lee Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, I gotta post this photo of this, Lorelei Josephine Corpuz, who presented herself as a 17-year-old boy named Mark. Yeah, I could see that, I suppose. Yeah, she has kind of an androgynous thing going on. Not a tremendously attractive woman. I'll put that up on the website later. All right, so this is Miss Diana Zelewski, whatever. So this is
this
is her
right
here.
Like a 17-year-old boy?
No. Who, Diana Zelewski or the other girl?
Oh, no.
No, the other girl doesn't.
Oh, did you see a picture of her?
I'm looking at this picture of Diana. Do I click on her name in the article?
Yeah, and it'll highlight her.
Let's see here. Oh, hello. Okay, yeah, there's...
See, I told you, I am never wrong when it comes to whether or not I think you'll like somebody.
No, it's true.
No, she's fantastic is what she is. All right. You know what she looks like? She looks like, she kind of reminds me of... Nah, I don't know who it is now. I had somebody on the tip of my tongue, but now it's gone. Well, anyway, I'm just going to leave this photo up. I'm just going to look at it randomly throughout the day. It's 503-733. The good thing is, now that she's been kicked off the show, she's probably depressed with nothing to do. We can find a way to fill her time. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, are these people calling in my Guitar Hero? Let's go. We'll get these in just a second. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Why, Brian?
Brian.
Thanks for calling, Brian. I appreciate that. I agree as well. I'm intrigued by your ideas and would like to subscribe to your newsletter. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, what's
nice
up?
Nice to talk to you without, you know, what normally I'm just pestering you over email. Yeah, Harmonix is one of the developers of Guitar Hero. The other is a company called Red Octane, which I believe made the controller. And Rock Band is by Harmonix. They're the developer, and basically it's Guitar Hero, but with an entire band instead of just the guitar controller.
So is it like guitar, bass, drums, and what, like keyboards or something?
Guitar, drums, bass, and vocals, because Harmonix also did a game called Karaoke Revolution, which is also oddly addictive because the way it works is the game actually tracks your pitch.
Right.
So if you go off pitch, the game starts frowning at you, and you know, and then everything turns red, and your little character dies.
That makes sense, actually, because it's like I've been doing this. I have decided this is a sort of side project that I've been doing, and I've been introduced to the wonders of a little thing in Pro Tools called Auto Tune.
Oh,
and Auto Tune, which tells you, like, you can see on a graph every time you are off key, every time you are flat, every time you are sharp, every time you open your mouth and the wrong note comes out, like a big red like X thing comes up on the screen, and it shows you how bad you are.
You play little games with yourself with your singing voice.
Exactly. So that's basically what this is. So the Karaoke Revolution has been merged with Guitar Hero, whatever. And so now is this a thing you play online?
I know what they're probably going to do, or what they're definitely going to do, is offer downloadable content. They're already doing that with the Xbox 360 version of Guitar Hero 2. And what they're also doing now that they didn't do with Guitar Hero 2 is pretty much all original artists, as opposed to like cover bands doing the songs.
Right, right, right. Yeah, because that was the other thing. And I heard some of it. It was just like, you know, God love those guys, but you know, a cover band doing Queen just doesn't sound anything like Queen.
Yeah, some of the cover bands in Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2 are almost creepily dead on. Some of them not so much.
Yeah. All right. This is why I can't have a 360 right now, because it would just suck away the remaining fragments of a life.
Oh, you have no idea how addicting that game is. I lost like a month of my life to it.
Well, you know, the thing about Guitar Hero is I know more actual musicians. I mean, people who can play, like, you know, a real guitar.
Yeah, I was a bad guitarist and a pretty good drummer, and I got sucked into it. I totally got eaten up.
Guitar Hero is what they've come up with, a dance revolution for guys. I mean, that's really what it is.
It's exactly what it is. And there's four different levels to it. So you start off and you can just kind of plink along and it's easy. Once it gets like to expert, you're pretty much playing every note. So like these incredibly fast solos for like Cowboys from Hell and, you know, Mark of the Moon. It's just unbelievably difficult.
All right. See, you picked the worst week to call me about this. So my wife is out of town. And I've been meaning to go to Fry's anyway, so
you're gonna love it. You will love it, and it will ruin any and all free time. You'll just go home and just do nothing but play Guitar Hero for hours. That's what happened to me.
Fantastic, excellent. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
That's Matt. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Time now for Democracy on the March.
Here's your Democracy on the March for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
The U.S. is ready to strike Iran on Good Friday. That would be this Friday, wouldn't it? That, according to the Russian media. Yes, the U.S. is ready to launch a missile attack at Iran's nuclear facilities as, well, on Good Friday, in between 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. According to the Russian intelligence sources, the report said the U.S. has devised a devilish plan to attack several targets in Iran, and the assault could be carried out by launching missiles from fighter jets and warships stationed in the Persian Gulf.
How accurate could this plan really be, and could this news be, if we have it here in this studio? If we're presenting it on this dumb show,
that's because we dig a little deeper and care a little bit more.
Because we get our news out of Pravda. And when I say Pravda, I'm not using
this. This is actually Novosky.
Really? Is Novosky, what is Novosky?
I don't know.
So it's a Pravda we haven't even heard of. It's sort of the it's the Hollywood tuna to Pravda's defamer. All right.
It's their own TMZ.
Exactly. It's 503-733-2970. There's your Democracy on the March for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Be such a good Friday in Tehran, apparently. Is that this weekend?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Really?
It's Good Friday, then it's Holy Saturday, then it's Easter Sunday.
See, and no longer is it. Not only do I not know this, as Sopranos was airing this weekend, I didn't know Entourage was coming back. I don't even know when Jesus is rising from the dead.
This is the weekend we hop on down the bunny trail.
We hop on down the bunny trail and roll away the stone. It's 503-733-2970. This is, oh, let's see. Oh, man, I haven't had to use this in a long time. Let's welcome into the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend.
Help me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Our good friend Aaron Geek in the city of Duran. Hello, sir.
Damn, I haven't heard that opening in a long time.
Well, you haven't called the show in like a year.
Yeah, well, I have this job.
Yeah.
Stupid piece of crap. Well, that one,
quick.
Ass.
He sounds crazy.
I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here. What have I done?
I don't know.
Okay. What? How can I help you, Aaron?
I was going to call back at 5 euro, but that guy pretty much nailed everything.
Oh, I see. Did you see Grindhouse last night?
Yeah.
So Chris just raved about it. I mean, he basically just sat there and tongue-kissed it all over my text messages last night.
Well, you know, when you see Grindhouse, tongue-kissing is the last thing you're going to want to do.
Really? Is it just brutal and repellent and violent in every conceivable
brutal
way?
Brutal and repellent and exploitive and vile and gross, and it has... Yeah, I mean, I can't really describe it any justice without you having to live on the dump button. I mean, it's just... It's best in every terrible way you can possibly think of.
Excellent. Fantastic. Now, if I can ask you, because this ties into something we were talking about later. Now, you were in L.A. last week, right?
Yeah.
Now, can I ask what you were in L.A. for?
Just visiting friends.
All right. But then I got all these weird messages from you, like, am currently talking to producer on The Shield, have learned spoilers, am currently talking to animator on The Simpsons. I mean, where were you that you were running into all these people?
You know, it's really bizarre that, you know, like, well, your favorite bridesmaid at my wedding was who I went to go visit.
I don't have a favorite bridesmaid at your wedding.
Oh.
My wife's out of town. I totally had a favorite.
Yeah,
that was completely awkward, too. That was the worst time ever.
I totally had and still have a favorite bridesmaid at your wedding.
No one, yeah.
She asked how
to... Really? Did she ask how I'm doing these days?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Anyway, she's got friends that all work, and, you know, everyone down there works in the industry in one way or another.
Sure.
And I just kept getting dragged to party after party where I would meet random people that are involved in these projects and stuff. But I wasn't being sucked into drum circles.
Yeah. And so now can you...
That was the text message I got from you. Okay, it didn't make any sense. And you're like, I'm in a drum circle, kill me.
Now, can you reveal, we won't use his name, but can you reveal to me what you told me in an email about the Simpsons movie?
This person worked on the Simpsons movies, kind of high up in the Simpsons movie. And his quote to me, I'll clean it up, but his quote to me was, this movie was the worst pile of S they had ever done. He wished it would go away. He wished he could take his name off it. And that they have devoted so much time on it. Not only is the movie crap, but next season's going to suck, too, because all the writers have been working on the movie.
Oh, that sucks.
Which, I don't mean to laugh, but that just, I mean, you know, if they've had all of this time to do the movie, the show's been on the air for like 50 years now.
Yeah. He also said they only half jokingly, they've been petitioned, like, the Writers Guild and the Screen Actors Guild, if they can have more than one Alan Smithy credit in the credits.
Really? Because they want to take their names off of it?
They just want nothing to do with it.
Now,
yeah.
I heard some early reviews from people, and including one from somebody I know who thought the movie was really strong, though.
Yeah. No, I talked to him last night. The traitor didn't call us, told us the movie was screening.
Yeah. So, I mean, the people seem to like it so far, but it's not a good sign when the animators themselves don't like it.
Yeah, they'll have nothing that they can't stand. They can't wait till it's all over.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right, Aaron Geek in the City of Durant. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Aaron. Now my computer's frozen, and you know, it's because I was trying to look at pictures of Diana Zaleski, or whatever her name is. All right. Okay, there you go. Here's Tim. Now I have to restart it. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Pornography star Ron Jeremy was invited into a campus group to debate feminist author Susan Coe at Simmons College in Boston. This is one of several debates which the two have conducted, but it is the first for an all-women's college. The purpose was for people to discuss if pornography has a place in society.
With a show of hands, who's ever actually watched adult films with a lover, boyfriend, girlfriend? I'd say about two-thirds of the audience's hands went up. And I said, who actually hates adult movies? Then like three or four hands went up, and three of them are guys.
Tornado driving tips. This for all of you planning on taking a vacation in Oklahoma. The AAA is offering some tips for those who are stuck in tornadoes. It might sound like a good idea to take shelter underneath an overpass if you're driving through Oklahoma. Is that a good idea?
It seems like it would be, because that roadway passing overhead seems very substantial, and of course it is. But if that twister comes through with any kind of strength, it'll suck you right out of there.
Jesus Christ! I didn't expect that to end that way.
Well, don't try to outrun a tornado.
You never know which direction a tornado is going to go. You may think it's heading one way, and it may turn right around and come at you from another way. So, you know, don't try to outrun it.
Yeah, seriously, especially because it'll, quote, suck you right out of there. All right, fantastic.
Don't use the cruise control if it rains.
Yeah, this is something that's not generally distributed as a good driving tip, and it really should be. If it's raining, if the roadway is slick, that cruise control can be your worst enemy. It'll cause those wheels to spin out of control and throw you into a skid. So never use that cruise control if it's raining.
This guy's just a big pile of happy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Rick, you've been talking about updating your MP3 player, this email says. Please let me encourage you not to get a Microsoft Zune. Okay, done. Done and done, sir. Yeah, that was...
My friend has one of those.
Man, I've heard nothing but bad. Really? How do they feel about it?
You know, I haven't... I know that he just likes it as an MP3 player. I don't know if he's tried to squirt his music to somebody else.
In no point am I going to be getting one of those. This guy says, I thought I was being cool and different when I got mine. It does have a bigger screen than the iPod, and I think more storage. It's about $15 a month for unlimited downloads, which is reasonable, but what they don't tell you is that the albums you download are only good for a certain amount of time.
Bastards.
I went to listen to mine, and every goddamn album I got had expired. 60 albums. Gone. History. This guy says, get an iPod, but only after you get Guitar Hero. You will never leave the house again.
Or Creative.
I'm getting that Creative thing.
I am too.
I've decided that's what I'm going
to
get.
Do you want to go to Fry's this weekend?
No, I'm getting mine online.
Okay.
No, just get an iPod.
No, I will not. I cannot join the iPod nation.
I can't do it.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I can't either.
We're going to be solidarity. I do need to go to Fry's, because remember that guy who called us a couple weeks ago about that shaver, the electric razor they sell at Fry's? I got to go so he can point that out. Remember we were doing the whole thing about the blade and the battery-operated razor?
Oh, the Fusion.
And that guy...
You never used it.
I did, actually. And that's a whole separate story. But that guy called, and he was talking about this. This is not a plug, but the guy called, and he was like, I'm the manager of Fry's. And he called, and he's like, we sell this electric razor that actually does work like a blade. He's like, it's the only one that's ever worked. And remember, because he offered to give it to us for a discount, and I was like, no, ixnay. There's no discount for me. Thank you. The subject line of this Zune email is, Bill Gates is an ass. Yes, sir. Thank you. I know that Bill Gates is, because he just crashed my machine while I was trying to lecture these photos of Diana Zaleski, or whatever, however it is you were.
You know, my creative nomad's going to crap now, but I've had it for 4 years, never had a problem with it, dropped it in, you know, a tub of water,
yeah.
And it still works.
I dropped mine down a staircase, and it still works. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi. For the love of sweet gravy.
Good Lord.
Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I got some trivia for you if you want to go through it. It's about DVDs. It's been 10 years since they first came out.
Okay.
So anybody in there can just shout your name and try and guess it. But, wait, for example.
Hold on a minute. Are you calling and just enrolling us now in an ad hoc quiz show?
You got it.
Okay.
So when was the first, what was the title of the first DVD? I can give you the year if you want.
Okay.
1997. First DVD that ever came out.
Rick, you should know this.
I don't know this.
Some of these are right down your alley, Rick.
All right. I have nothing, sir.
All right. We'll get going on this. It's called Africa, the Serengeti. The first dual layer disc. And you're huge on this one. You like this guy. Well, you like the movie, I guess.
Die Hard.
No.
Okay.
But it's close. Terminator 2.
Okay.
All right, here's one. The first TV season set. Your favorite. The very first TV season set DVD that came out was from who? Give you a hint, they walk among us. He's always looking for them.
Tim?
Please help. I'm stymied by this.
I don't know what's going on. No, I have nothing.
Why don't you just tell us and we can stop playing the game?
Are you that brain dead?
Yes. Oh, don't be caustic,
oh, that's
sir. That's the wrong way to earn our favor.
I don't believe
it's brain dead since we don't know the beginnings of the DVD 10 years ago.
Oh, well, of course. This is in 2000. It's called The X-Files.
Oh, I see. All
first
right.
Million-dollar seller.
How many more of these have you prepared,
Steve? There's only ten. Oh, my God. Calm down.
Do you want to bet?
First million-dollar seller, The Matrix. How about the first audio hit? You hate these guys.
I'm just going to leave the room for a while, and when I come back, maybe this will be done.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's, you know, we're gonna bring the curtain down on this, Steve, but thank you. Thanks so much for that. All right, there you go. That's Steve. Good God Almighty. All right, there you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's do a couple more. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Coming up around the corner. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us. Later on, we have the top five. We'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian and so forth. Here's Tim Riley.
Van Coyne 6 reporting that there are some empty bread shells at area Safeway and Winco stores. Apparently, the Food and Drug Administration tested samples of bread from those stores to see if they contain any of the contaminated wheat gluten that's sickening pets. A Safeway spokesperson said the company voluntarily stopped making and selling some of this product after the FDA asked for these tests. But the bread is safe, so go ahead and eat all you want for now. Officials would not reveal why investigators chose that kind of bread. It's back on the store shelves, so why not stop by and pick up a loaf?
Why, do it today, won't you please? All right, let's see here. This is... Oh, you know, and this is... I'm looking at... I know I sound like I've become an Insta-stalker of this Diana Zaleski girl. She really is...
You're still looking at that picture?
Yeah, well, I have it on the screen along with many other things. It's there just to provide a little brightness to my day. Just
makes
a little
all
color.
The rest of us feel awkward as you start to sweat profusely.
I'm not sweating, and I'm just saying I am a fine. I'm not sweating.
You look a little sweaty.
I'm not sweaty. Apparently, let's see. She's a college student. Date of birth unknown. Marital status unknown.
Ooh, mystery.
All right. Well, let's see. This is, hi, this is Mark. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. You remember I guess it was a couple months ago, you had a little thing with 101 where they may or may not have stolen some of your material.
You're talking about with our sister station.
Was it 101? I don't know who it was.
Maybe.
But...
It could be any one of a dozen stations that might have done that.
Well, right. But I was listening to something this morning, and, the guy ripped you off again, man.
Now, but without revealing what station it is, because we'll get to that in a second. Don't tell me what station it is, but what was ripped off in your estimation from us?
Well,
they, you know, it was the morning guy, and he was like, well, today is April, whatever, the year of our Lord, and he even said it in the same way you did. And I don't know, you know, to me, that's blatantly ripping you off, man, because you're the only one I hear say that.
Well, it's not like I created the phrase, but the only people, the last person who said it before me in my life was a nun who used to whack me around the head if I didn't say it that way.
So that makes it yours.
Well,
that makes it yours, Rick.
Now, hold on, let's take a quick poll of the room here. Now, do we want to know who it was? Don't answer yet, Mark. Now, I'm just going to ask the other people in the room here. Do we want to know who this was that he heard doing this? Because, see...
No, because I'm going on 101 tomorrow, and I don't want to make it uncomfortable.
Well, it might not have been them. Don't say anything yet, Mark.
Okay, now, I won't.
It may not have been them. And if it was this morning show, it doesn't matter, because that's Adam Carolla in, like, Los Angeles, so that's...
Oh, yeah.
So, do we want to know, Tim?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, why not? It might make us angry.
No,
I'm not an angry person.
Me all right. Either.
All right, Mark. So who was it that was saying in the year of our Lord 2007?
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed to say who it was, man, to be honest. So,
because it's going to reflect badly on your radio choices, isn't it?
Well, I was flipping through, man. It wasn't my fault. Uh-huh. And the show was brutally bad. It was a train wreck. You can't not look. So I was listening, and it was really bad. It was 97.1. So it was
97.1. Was that Charlie?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
That's the station that fired us.
Seriously?
Oh, really?
Firing us but keeping our catchphrases.
And you know what? It was the way he said the year of our Lord. Now, if he would have just said the year of our Lord in his lame high voice that he has, it would have been okay. But he tried to do it like you did, man. That's what made me mad.
Is that is that what's it, Doug and Skippy?
I have no idea who they are, but the show is god awful, man. It's brutal.
Zippy and Kooky.
Pants,
the Sir Fetch-A-Lot.
I thought they were on the bus.
Kooky the Kid. They were.
I'm
but so remember,
confused about how they mixed everything around now.
Remember, they
just
were on
different rooms.
They were on the bus, but because they were doing the afternoon show with Daria. But remember, they went to Charlie Mornings. I'm sure everybody cares about this. The Buzz afternoon show was.
Well, I got my lawyers working on it. I'll let you go.
Thank you, Mark.
No
all
problem.
Right, there you go. That's Mark. The afternoon show on the Buzz was Daria, Doug, and Skippy. Because you remember there was that whole soap opera. There was that whole soap opera about that station.
Oh yeah.
Where they stuck Daria on the morning show there, and I'm not revealing anything that isn't public knowledge because Peter Carlin did a whole column about this. I'm just revisiting things that were already publicly discussed in the Oregonian. How they stuck Daria on the morning show, that imploded. Then they stuck her on the afternoon show. And I think that there was personality conflicts there. That would be my read on that situation.
There was some speculation that there was some unhappiness.
So the afternoon show was Daria, Doug, and Skippy. And so then I believe...
All right, so yes, it is Doug and Skippy in the morning.
Seriously, what kind of an industry is this where we work with people named Fat Boy and Skippy? I mean, seriously, what in the name of
Christ? No, it's not
Christ?
Fat Boy. It's Bruno.
I'm sorry, it's Bruno from now. We've decided to call him Bruno. So I believe the deal is that Doug and Skippy... Went to Charlie, but wasn't Charlie's whole shtick that they don't have any DJs? Isn't that their thing? Isn't that their whole thing? DJs, by the way, comes from Donna Mike, in case anybody wants to call up and accuse me of stealing it. That is full on from Donna Mike. But isn't that the deal? They don't have, it's just like liners and stuff? Well, anyway, and so
I've never listened to it. I don't know.
I've never listened to that station once in my life, to be honest. And so I guess Daria is still on the afternoon of the bus with some new guy. I don't know.
Oh, with some guy, there was some huge speculation because he came out on the air that he was gay and all the soccer moms were really upset about it.
Dear advertiser, thank you for turning my son gay. Thank you, CBS. Thank you.
CBS.
No, CBS. But remember there was that Super Bowl thing. Remember the Super Bowl complaint about the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for turning my son gay. All right. Well, we'll see. We can get audio of that. I wonder if there's audio. I wonder if they podcast that. They can't. Why would they possibly? What would be the point of podcasting that station? Really? What would be the? They ought to just sell like a Charlie. They ought to sell like a Charlie iPod.
I mean, if it's all the music that you want to hear, why wouldn't you be listening on an iPod?
What? Really? If it's the music that you really want to hear, why would you be asking somebody else to play it for you? Music you enjoy listening to, inexplicably played by somebody else in a tedious and repetitive fashion. All right. They ought to sell like a KGON iPod. It would only need to be like 3 megs. Anyway, 75 songs on it. 503-733-2970. All right, well, we'll address all this when we get back. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.